You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome to the ninth episode of This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. Jonah, how are you today?
I'm good. At some point, do you think we'll like stop having like what our episode numbers are? Will we get that like down
the line? I
think
10.
10? We'll stop counting after that?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah,
I don't really think about it until I sit down, and I just happened to look at our last one earlier, and I know. It was episode 8, so it was fresh in my mind. It's been kind of rainy.
Yes, it's been rainy, and while we're in a drought right now, so that's very good for us, and it will impact our foliage. We're supposed to have muted colors this year, which is very depressing because we're in a drought. I will say my chickens are very angry, very upset. They're eating their own eggs. Not kidding. They're just like, they want to get out and they want to be able to go free, but they also don't like being wet.
I didn't know chickens ate their own eggs.
They're mostly just mad at me for a number of reasons, and this is how they're displaying that animosity and anger. So I desperately want to let them free range and dirt bath and have a laugh, but they can't with all this mud, so it's gross. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of disgusting, but as we,
on that happy note,
we move on to our guests, who are Linda Claremont, the Executive Director of Workforce and Community Education. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited
to have you. It's an honor to be on a podcast.
This is your first one.
My first ever podcast.
I have to imagine you've done a lot of radio shows.
I've done radio, PCTV shows, you know, the weekly entertainment of city council meetings.
Such excitement.
This will be much less painful, I promise. And also Jen Hoffman, the Assistant Director of Workforce and Community Education. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Adam. Pleasure to be here.
And this is like, what, podcast 55, 63?
Oh, at least, yeah.
I think it's so interesting the way that nowadays they, like, you go to a sports bar, and they have like podcasts, and it's like guys sitting on couches, people sitting on couches talking to one another.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
I'm thinking maybe our next move, Jonah, is to like have someone film us as we do this.
We did just hire a new graphic designer who has specializes not only in audio recording, because they are a musician with an actual following and they're part of a real band, and he's from Canada.
Canada, nice.
So excited.
Oh my God. That's why we hired him. He was so nice.
Of course. How could you not?
He also specializes in video production. Like, that's his MO. So I'm pretty sure we're going to go full tilt with this. So
we're doing ours now.
We'll do 12 people listening to us to maybe 14 watching us. So look out. Like, we're
actually, I appreciate the optimism. I'm afraid that we might go from 12
down
if people have to look
to
at me.
Eight.
But it is really nice to have both of you on. And I think for our listeners who don't know the two of you, it would be really nice to just do a quick introduction, how long you've been at BCC, and what you do when you come here. Jen, let's
okay,
go first.
I guess I'm starting. I'm Jen Hoffman. I'm the Associate Director of Workforce and Community Education. I've been at the college going on 3 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. Prior to that, I spent 20-ish years in hospitality, keeping the wealthy healthy. So this is a very different but amazing experience. I started as the admin in the department, which was a great experience for me, and now I'm lucky enough to be working more closely with Linda in the associate director role. So I do all kinds of things, I think. I'd like to think I'm, you know, willing to pitch in and do whatever's needed, help with programming, help with budget, help with grant writing, events, all of it. So whatever the team needs, we have a really strong team that we've put in place, so I'm here to help with whatever's needed.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jen and Linda.
So I have been at the college for just a year and a half, and it has flown by because, first of all, this is an amazing place to work. It's an amazing place to meet new people who are interesting and curious, and everybody is super supportive and welcoming. And I'm also loving it because what Jen and I have done in the last year and a half is really rebuild a division that was struggling quite a bit in the prior 4 or 5 years, and it was an opportunity for us to like recreate and reimagine workforce and community education. We've had a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that was going to be my next question, and we've gone through a lot of iterations of what our workforce team has been in my time here, and it is cool that you've had kind of a creative slate with your team to I mean, really build a new team and kind of think about what the future and the direction of the Workforce Division is. Do you want to talk a little bit about where we are and where we might be going?
Sure. So, like initially when I first came to the college, I admittedly had a lot of experience in other areas of community life, right? But didn't really have maybe what would have been standard expectations for an executive director of workforce. So I had to spend some time like really delving into what was past practices, what are some of the emerging ways that community colleges are helping to prepare the workforce. And really that's been, once I got through some of that, I quickly identified that one of our most important goals, really two, is making sure that the people of our region have access to really high quality, short duration, technical skills, you know, programs that teach a particular technical skill.
Yep.
So that they can either go right to work, earning a pretty good living wage, you know, depending on their choice of occupation, or maybe it's their first time ever coming to a college campus and they decide, I can do this and I'm going to go on the non-credit side. And then we have the employers. And that is something that we are really just now. So we spend the first year building out diverse programs, support with Jonah's help and the marketing team, really pushing our new brand, pushing our new programming. Our enrollments for this year are up 100%.
Wow.
Which is so phenomenal.
It's
it has
really
been
great.
An absolute team effort to make that happen.
And but we have a new team, a very full new team for the first time, which is incredible and has been a huge factor in letting Linda and I do more of that employer outreach, some of that higher level stuff, because it's the first time we've had a full team. And we have three program managers now, an admin assistant, Anna Suffish, who does our ESOL, and it's just incredible, and a community education manager as well. So
I think we just need to like pause for 1 second and just acknowledge that that's 100% up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. Like, I don't think we've even celebrated that enough.
I hadn't heard that before right now. That's
exactly.
Really impressive.
Yeah, we were looking at our enrollment data, fall 2024 to fall 2025. And we had like, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but let's just say 58 students last fall. This fall, we have 108 students. So
116
Is it 116? You know
that'd
exactly.
Be 100% increase. Sorry, I'm the enrollment guy.
So close.
You're getting
so close.
Oh, now you're nitpicking.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but anyway, I think it speaks to the quality of the programs, the diversity of the programs we're offering, the marketing and outreach that we've been able to do with Jonah's team, and the program managers really, you know, diving in and feeling a passion for the work that they're doing. And so this is like an upward trend that I'm super excited about.
That's really great. So that was a really good kind of introduction to how we got to where we are right now. I think we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'd love to hear from the two of you about where we're going.
The Berkshire Natural History Conference is fast approaching. This year's conference will be held at Williams College on Saturday, November 8th from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. Learn about native birds, turtles, caves, and more at BCC's annual conference. Enjoy knowledgeable speakers, exciting exhibits with local environmental groups, incredible book and natural history sales items, and the annual natural history quiz. And most likely, and terrifyingly, there'll probably be snakes involved. Register at berkshirecc.edu/BNHC today.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for sticking through our first segment. I know that one of the things that we're going to highlight in our commercials this time is the Harvest Run, which I'm going to run.
You are?
I am. I'm running a 5K on Sunday here as well. And like typically that's not something that's a big deal to me, a 5K, but I am dreading it.
Really?
Yeah.
So last week I did the Lee Founders Day 1 mile race, and it was my first time running competitively since I was 14 years old at cross country at Taconic.
How'd it go?
I ran with my husband and I pushed him and we did really, really well for waking up and just doing it and with no stretching and no prep and anything. But I stopped running competitively because I'm incredibly competitive.
Yeah.
And now I'm obsessed. And so it's bad. I'm not going to do the Harvest Run, though, because like I don't do trail running. That's so much harder.
The Harvest Run course is really hard.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And you have to do it twice. Oh. And there are two just outrageous hills that you have to run up that even when I'm in good shape. I remember I ran a marathon and then ran the Harvest Run like a couple of weeks later. And you'd think, like after running 26.2 miles, 3 miles would be nothing. It's really hard.
But listen, folks, definitely register and run this race.
Yes. It is. I will say the Harvest Run, the 4th of July 5K here in the Berkshires is like a magical and super fun thing to do because like everyone's there and people are cheering for you. The Harvest Run is my second favorite one. There's like all this food that's happening. There's generally a Halloween kind of theme. Yep. It's for a really good cause for
a nursing program.
So even if you decide not to run it,
show up.
It's a really great event.
Especially if you have kids.
It sounds so much fun.
It is.
You will not see Linda Claremont running at all.
You can walk over with your dog.
Yeah, come stop by.
I might just swing by.
There's free food.
Daryl Shreve says it's one of his favorite events, especially for his kids.
Daryl Shreve has run it in a onesie.
Right? Yeah.
Now you're talking.
And beat me. So anyway, let's get back to workforce and community engagement. I think in the last segment, you talked about how we got to where we are right now. You've doubled the number of students that we have engaged. What's the plan? Where are we going? What's the roadmap moving forward?
So for students, we definitely want to continue building programs that are relevant and interesting to students, but also meaningful to employers. And Jen can talk a little bit about our Berkshire State of Work Summit that we held this year. It was a first ever one-day conference for employers, right? So bringing employers to the campus, showcasing what the campus can offer, but also recognizing that there's a common conversation happening among employers that the college, and especially workforce, needs to hear, understand, and be thinking about.
Yeah, Jen, did you get... Like, did a lot of people come? Were they from was it very narrowly focused into different types of industry, or was it broader?
Yeah, it was definitely broader. Some people, Jonah, didn't think that a lot of people would be attending, but we had over 200 folks. We had a lot of employer engagement over different areas of the Berkshires. It was a one-day conference. The feedback was incredible. People were really excited about it. It was different than anything they had been to before. So now we're working on our mini summits because we got some feedback coming out of that on, shocking, AI. So we're going to start a series of summits in the fall, starting with a broad AI and how it can help your business, and then moving into different sectors such as marketing, HR, finance, to keep that momentum going and make sure folks know that BCC is a great resource for this type of information.
One of the things that I really loved about what you were talking early on, Linda, is this idea about who the student that comes to workforce might be. And clearly, there are people in this community who have never tried college. They graduated from high school or not, and they're looking now to figure out a way to upskill themselves so that they can immediately get into the workforce and have a living wage. I think there are other ways to engage with your team and your division as well. Could you talk about some of those?
Sure. One of the things we are really going to start to explore more intentionally and deliberately this year is corporate solutions. How can we help our businesses provide specialized training for their employees? Mm. We have a conversation going right now with Guardian Life Insurance Company. I think we are going to be successful in this partnership with them. And it'll be an opportunity for us to sort of pilot a corporate solutions training
That's
session.
Great.
And also think about how we might offer that in other areas around the region.
That's very cool. So something that I've been very interested in recently is learning how to bake sourdough bread. So I'm very, during the pandemic, one of the things that I did was get really into baking, and I baked bread, I made pies. Post-pandemic, I haven't done that as much, but I like love the idea of sourdough baking, and I think you do things like that too.
Absolutely. We actually have some sourdough classes on the schedule, Adam, so sign up.
Would you like to teach?
Yes. We're always looking for teachers.
I don't think you want me to teach
we
sourdough.
We have a teacher for that one. But community education offerings are headed by Linda Morelli, who is amazing. And we have literally something for everyone, from the baking to the bartending to arts and theater, all of it. So, and these are really reasonably priced. It's the fun stuff. You know, no pressure. Just come meet all kinds of different people. And it's a really, really popular, really, really popular offerings.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's really meant to be like a personal enrichment experience as opposed to preparing you for a job or for future college enrollments. And I think it's really important that the college continue to provide these community education programming, personal enrichment programming. I feel like anytime we can get a person on this campus and explore everything this place is and can be for a person, I think that's a win. So
it's another entry point for
that's
folks.
That's right.
Yeah, and this is a data point that's pretty old, but at one point in time, I know that in Texas, the number one place that people went after graduating from college was to the University of Texas to get a graduate program from all the public Texas institutions. Number two was going after a bachelor's degree, going to a community college to get a certificate or some sort of workforce training, because you get your major in philosophy or in music, and that's great, and it prepares you as a well-rounded person to a lot of different things. But sometimes you need that technical experience, and I like the idea of education being vertical, not just one direction, but that people with PhDs may come to Berkshire Community College because they want to learn how to act in a community play.
Absolutely.
And I also think that one of our untapped but also essential areas to focus on are our new neighbors, the new immigrants who have arrived, who may have a college degree from their home country in something, you know, very employable, but need some assistance from Berkshire Community College to be able to transition that particular skill into a workplace here in the region or around the United States. I think that's an opportunity for workforce also.
Yeah, that's great. I think that brings us to the end of this segment. And when we come back, we'll get to know Jen and Linda on a personal level a little bit more.
You're listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College. Did you know the Harvest Run, which is an annual fundraiser hosted by Integritas Healthcare and supported by the BCC Foundation, raises funds for the nursing health and wellness programs at BCC? The race is taking place on Saturday, November 1st at Berkshire Community College, and it'll include a community 5K and the fun and food in Patterson. The fun starts at 8:30 a.m. Learn more at berkshirecc.edu/harvestrun.
And welcome back. At the end of the last segment, I talked about getting to know Linda and Jen better. We will do that, I promise. Don't go away. But I do think it's important that we talk about the trades and what's going on in your division around trade development.
So clearly we have identified that in the state of Massachusetts, including Berkshire County, there is a labor shortage for the skilled trades. And so community colleges around the Commonwealth have started to think about how can we provide that kind of training, fill that labor gap, but also give people access to a skill that has, you know, much more than a livable wage as you move through your experiences. So we've been exploring the trades. And Jen, do you want to talk about our HVAC electricians, where we are with those two things?
Yeah, our most recent success, I would say, was an event we had earlier this week here at the college, an electricians awareness event. So we had about 20 individuals, and it was spanning young women, men, people of color. It was amazing to see young people, old people. It was amazing to see the mix of individuals in the room. We had some amazing folks from Kamali Electric here giving all kinds of incredible information to folks, you know, really validating what we thought we already knew, that this is something that's of interest in this county, and we're really looking forward to trying to get this program stood up. Electricians is a little complicated, but we'll get there. HVAC, we should be starting soon in the not too distant future. So that's something else that we're planning on getting up and have tons of interest in that too. CDL is another one I want to mention that we're working towards. We have 70 people on our waiting list right now.
Just
for
in
CDL.
Case someone doesn't know what CDL is.
Commercial driver's license. So driving big trucks, buses, all that. So 70 people on our list right now. So that's something else we're hoping to get in the works.
And we were just awarded a grant to be able to provide 3 sessions of CDL training in the next year.
Wow.
So stay tuned for those details. Our HVAC grant is starting to launch now. So BCC is going to build an HVAC lab, and we're going to open up enrollment for 2 cohorts for training in heat in HVAC and heat pump, because it has to have a clean energy, rightfully so, component to it. And we might also be able to provide incumbent training. So HVAC technicians who are currently in the field, who need an upskill in how to install heat pumps. So stay tuned for more details on that, too.
Could a prerequisite for the folks in the HVAC program be to install AC on the second floor of Fields for us who work there, right?
Let's give them that. Yes. Let's give them
That's the project.
Order of business.
Just say we could have really used it last summer.
Yes.
All the three of us
agree.
Know that very well.
The SBA lounge is my office was up on the second floor of Fields for a while, but the SBA lounge also can be warm.
It gets humid in the SBA lounge.
I think that this HVAC program seems like a really good idea.
We've got
for
an
BCC alone.
Instantaneous job opportunity.
That's right. I heard that there's an interesting question to ask specifically to Linda, but I'm going to ask both of you this question. What is your irrational fear? I will say, to give you a second to talk, I had an answer to this for a long time, which was dogs. And now I have a dog, and I'm much less afraid of dogs in general than I was most of my life.
Yeah, dogs are definitely not my irrational fear.
No, you love dogs.
I love dogs. But my irrational fear is like waking up in the dark of night from a sound sleep and having someone in your house who's going to murder you, right? Like, there's a murder involved. And
I mean, this doesn't sound irrational.
That
happened.
Quite
that
rational.
Seems
like
a legitimate
fear. Preparation for this.
But
oh, okay.
Hold on, because
wait, there's more.
I mean, if somebody showed up in my house in the dark trying to murder me, I think it's legitimate to be afraid.
That's very rational.
Everyone's afraid of that.
Yeah.
Let's just admit. Let's acknowledge it. Everyone's afraid of that. But the irrational part of this is that I am really afraid of the crime scene photos. So I want my house to be really tidy. Before I go to bed, I clean up the dishes, I fold the blankets, I neaten up the house.
Ellen and Lizzie, if you ever listen to this podcast, this is a really good, Ellen and Lizzie are my daughters, this is really good lifelong lesson for you. Just think, this is, again, not irrational. You should keep your house tidy for this reason, if for nothing else.
I'm just saying, like, I know that my murderer will end up on some true crime television show, and they're going to splash those crime scene photos all across the screen.
And you don't want to be judged.
No,
someone's
hell
gonna
no.
be looking at your kitchen sink, and they're going to say, wow, there's a cup in there. That's what they'll be looking
at. They didn't even put their groceries away.
Those dishes.
I don't find this irrational at all. I now have this fear.
Great.
So just remember, though, it's not the fear of the murder. It's the fear of the crime scene photos
and
what people will say about me.
Forever. Wow. That's all anyone will ever
That'll
remember
about
you.
That'll be the last memory.
Yeah.
She did not mop her floors.
Wow. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Good luck topping that one.
Yeah, good luck, Jen.
I don't think I can. But similarly, I watch a lot of crime shows as well, and my irrational fear is being framed for something that I didn't do.
Ooh, so, that is a good one.
Do you do a lot of crime? That
no,
you,
there's no crime, okay, but you no never crime. Know what's going to happen. People could say
Have you
she was here.
Considered psychoanalysis?
Yes, for many things. Not just that.
My irrational fear is the holes. Like when you put a bunch of holes together, like certain like fungus have this. If you look at it, I can't even talk about it. I'm going to start freaking out. It's just a pile of holes together. I will throw up. And obviously snakes, which Tom Tiny knows. That's why he invites me to see the rattlesnakes every single time.
A pile of holes.
Like if you see a bunch of holes like on a thing, I will literally throw up. Like I can't even talk about
it. Ooh, so like not black holes in the universe.
I love
just
those.
A collection of holes
together, and they might be different sizes, and like it's like a fungus thing.
How did you determine you had this irrational?
Because I saw it, and it's freaking. I wish that
we were being filmed right now, because Jonah's spine is moving in a way I didn't know a human spine could move.
His body language when describing this pile of holes is priceless.
Sorry. Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie The Invention of Lying?
I don't.
The concept of the movie is that you can't lie, so there's no fiction. So basically, TV is all the like just somebody reading the news, and the advertising is really funny. Like there's a part where it's a commercial for Pepsi, and the tagline is "When there's no Coke, Pepsi." I think living in a world where there's no fiction would probably be it's a world I don't want to live in.
Right.
We're going to go into our last break, but Linda, before we do that, another very interesting thing about you is you hate rainbows.
I cannot believe you're outing me. I do. I hate rainbows. I just think they're dumb. I just think that it's the way that people react to them too makes me feel like everyone calm down. It's a rainbow, right? So I think they're dumb. And so, but I also, listen, let me just say that I struggle with it because I know the rainbow is now representing the LGBT community who I embrace and love and cherish. So I'm...
You're an ally.
100%.
To people, but not so much to refractive light.
To people, but not to the rainbow.
Right, right. So we're going to take a break. I prepared a little something for you. And when we come back, we'll jump into that.
We'll be right back. The Paraeducator Training 2026 schedule is now available. Scholarships are available for those who qualify. The six-week session starts January 5th and ends February 12th, 2026. Classes are held at BCC. This workforce training offers hands-on support from experienced mentors, and students will earn the industry-recognized para-pro credential, receive career preparation and job placement support, and graduates will be prepared to work as paraprofessionals in the public or private K-12 education setting. Learn more at berkshirecc.edu/workforce.
Welcome back. We ended our last segment with Linda talking about how she doesn't like rainbows much. My dad's a poet, and I have been dabbling a little bit in writing poetry recently, and I wrote something for you, and I'm going to read it.
If there's anyone who can change my mind about rainbows, it's Adam.
This poem is about you, though.
Oh, boy.
All right. It's a version of you. She shakes her head at rainbows, calls them frauds, cheap tricks of light, sliced by raindrops into gaudy ribbons. Everyone else gasps, phones out, ready to sing about wishes, pots of gold, Judy Garland. She mutters, fractals, refracted water. Don't they teach you anything? The neighbors smile nervously. Children keep pointing, but she sips her coffee like it's a secret weapon. She prefers honest skies, clouds stacked like old books. The plain gray hush of rain. She laughs when I hum somewhere over the rainbow. Says it keeps it, if I keep it up, she'll move to Kansas just to spite me. Later, the sun bends low. Prisms fade into dusk. I look at her, fierce and certain. The world stripped of sugar. I think, what a marvel, this woman who hates rainbows.
Wow.
Thank you, Adam. I shall cherish this forever.
That's something.
But you made me think of something, though, because a line in your poem about the sky, I do love lightning.
Mm-hmm. You do. Yeah.
And I love sunrises and sunsets and this light in the sky that is, like, magical.
Right.
I love all of that. I love dark skies where you can see all the stars. It's the rainbow, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the sky.
It's just a pile of colors on top of each other acting weird, right?
So. It's just light filtering through water. Yes. I actually think that they're magical and lovely.
So as somebody who is very Irish,
right.
The rainbows are life. So.
I know.
How do you feel about leprechauns?
Oh, I'm obsessed. Yeah. I have them my whole life. Absolutely. Yeah. I wish I was shorter so I could actually like enact one and be one, but I'm not. So,
In the novel American Gods, there's a leprechaun and he's like 7 feet tall. So don't.
All right.
There you go.
All right, that was a movie. A TV
I mean,
show
maybe
on,
that's the
stars,
mystery
too.
Is that they are actually tall.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah.
No right. one would know. You don't see them.
Hmm.
And if you do, you become very rich.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Do you, though?
I mean, the leprechaun does not beget wealth. It's the pot of gold, but that, you know, you got to find the end of a rainbow, and you can't, so.
Yeah, you're out on
not,
that.
I'm not.
No pot of gold for you.
Nope.
So I think we're off the rails, maybe. So I'm going to try to bring us back to Berkshire Community College's this podcast. Could have been an email. Closing thoughts, Adam and group, what's up? No?
I was kind of pumped up about the whole rainbow thing, but.
Yeah. So I'm like speechless because no one has ever written me a poem before. You're so sweet.
I just find your dislike of rainbows to be magical. I think that we we're very very pleased to have the two of you on our podcast. I think that what your team is doing with workforce is really impressive. I know from talking to Lori Gordy, kind of the connections and the synergy between for credit, non credit, are at least being strategically thought about in a way that I haven't felt in my entire career. Honestly, I mean, I've been working in higher ed for I won't say how long, but I think I think we're in a really good place. And you know, I think Linda, you're kind of uniquely positioned to talk about the promise of the Berkshires and what we can be, and would love maybe to kind of just have you take us out here, mm-hmm. thinking about just having spent so much time serving this community. And now serving it in this way, and what your vision is kind of for the future of this place.
Yeah, I was so thrilled when I was offered this job, because I, as some know, was in local elected office for 20 years and served the last 8 years as mayor of the city of Pittsfield, which introduced me to a whole community of people from all walks of life, all different neighborhoods, but also to the Commonwealth in general and what other communities are doing. And being here at the college and taking advantage of all that knowledge, that big network, thinking a little bit differently about workforce, you know, some of the newer concepts around this is really about people and preparing them for the workplace. But I think the thing that I'm loving the most is how much fun it's been. It's just we're having a lot of fun building this thing, and a lot of fun exploring the outcomes, and a lot of fun giving people new opportunities. It's just been such a pleasure to join the BCC community.
That's beautiful. It's great having both of you as a part of our community. I'm just going to wrap this up by thanking everyone for, you know, today's September 26th. We're shortly after the opening of the semester, and I think it's been the best opening semester, yep. that I've had in my time here. Just people kind of rallying together to starting with Community Fest, mm-hmm. and moving through Welcome Back and New Student Orientation. Kind of a cool moment last week. We had both Pam Farron and Lisa Madela retire, 58 years of experience, yeah. between the two of them. And I apologize to those of you who came to their going away party. I told this story, but I went in on the Friday, the day before their, it was Monday, because the whole point of the story is it was a Monday, the Monday of their last week. And I said, I know that this is your last Monday, and there's probably bittersweet feelings about leaving, but it's a Monday, and like, who wouldn't want to have their last Monday? Yeah. And Lisa was like, absolutely, I'm so happy this is my last Monday. And Pam was like, actually, I really like Mondays. And Mondays are about beginnings. And so I just want to end on that thank you all for the work that you did for the beginning of this semester. As we move into the weekend, I wish you all a lovely beginning to that. And we'll continue forward. Just remember, every time that we work with a student, that moment for them can be at the beginning to something bright, like a rainbow, or a future that leads to a pot of gold.
Come in full circle.
And just know that it's almost October, which means sweater weather. So
somewhere.
All right, and we're out. Thank you all very much for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College. Special thanks to Adam Klepetar, my co-host, and to Linda Claremont and Jen Hoffman for being absolutely amazing guests for this episode. Special thanks to Alzi Mercado and Dave Cachet at PCTV. Finally, I'd like to thank you, dear listener, for continuing to listen even as we endeavor to make Fetch happen. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening to this podcast, Could Have Been an Email, from Berkshire Community College.